Let's talk a little politics with our friend Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio fame. Hey, Rick, how the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm wondering, I'm looking here of all the St. Paddy's Day parades and parties. All of them are canceled. I'm just, what are all the politicians going to do? You know, the ones that usually walk around in their green sashes. That's a big political day, usually, and they don't have it this year.
No, they don't have it, but the good news for them is that there is no primary election for them this year. The big one is next March, so you can count on the fact that that will be the busy, hopefully we'll be back to the parades, and mm-hmm. that'll be their busy time.
Yeah, I always think that's the most boring part of the parade, is the convertibles with the politicians in it just waving, you know, and then you got to get to the floats and the Irish dancers, but you got to go through a lot of the convertibles first.
Yeah, but I like the city parade where everybody's elbowing for the front of the line. You know, that's kind of...
it's like, I'm more important than you.
Primal humor there, you know.
I love it all. I love it all. Hey, you know, I just I saw your story, your piece today, that there is a new leader in the Democratic Party, and this was quite a battle to get there, but it's more signs that of a new era here in Illinois politics. And tell us about what's happening.
Well, this is the latest fall of Mike Madigan's influence over Illinois politics and Democratic politics. You know, we had Madigan, who Speaker for 36 years, that was uprooted from the job in January. Then he resigned his House seat on the Southwest side from 50 years in February. And a few days after that, he resigned as chairman of the state Democratic Party. And that's a position he's held since 1998. So, yeah, it's an opportunity for the Democrats to move forward. And they picked Robin Kelly, Congresswoman from Matteson in the second congressional district, the south side and southwest suburbs, actually goes all the way down to Kankakee. And it was a very close vote. It was 52% for her, 48% for Michelle Harris, the 8th district alderman, 8th ward alderman, and turned into a bit of a proxy fight between Democratic leaders as well.
Yeah, talk about that, because it was interesting to see who was on whose side. And then, you know, it was two African-American women, two prominent women in politics, but very, very close vote, as you point out.
Yeah, you had on Kelly's behalf was U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, the state's senior senator, the number two Democrat in the U.S. Senate. And then on the other side, you basically had Governor Pritzker and Tammy Duckworth, the junior senator. They both endorsed Michelle Harris. And then it was a matter of watching how everybody sided. When you look at this 36-member Democratic State Central Committee, committees of that size remind me of the ones that invented the camel. Everybody casting a weighted vote from how Democrats voted in the, how many ballots were cast in the 2020 primary. And it was kind of interesting that, you know, is Madigan still a member of that committee? And Michelle Harris actually tended to have the support of, I guess what you'd say is the old guard establishment Democrats on the committee. Bobby Rush, Danny Davis, among others. And then you had Robin Kelly, who seemed to have some of the more progressive Democratic support, Chuy Garcia, Carol Ronan, former state senator on the north side, some folks from the lakefront, and it was Robin Kelly that ultimately won the day here. But this is not a good sign for Governor Pritzker, and granted, this is picking a state party chairman. It's inside baseball. You know, do voters really care? But this is kind of another political loss that he's had. And we know about him losing the graduated rate income tax vote last November. He had tried to make a play for a candidate to be the state Senate president when John Cullerton retired, and that didn't work. And now you kind of have this as well. And sources are telling me that expect some shakeups in the governor's political operation as he moves on to be seeking re-election in 2022.
Well, you know, you mentioned insider baseball. Some of this is, a lot of it really matters, I think. And what, can you kind of break it down for us, Rick, about what it, how it does matter to any of us who are live in the state? Who's in charge of the Democratic Party? How does this really affect any of us?
Well, under Madigan, the Illinois Democratic Party was basically just a one-man fundraising operation that money that went to the Democratic Party of Illinois for candidates truly only went to candidates for the Illinois House that would support Mike Madigan as Speaker. It was part of his power base. And the Democratic Party in Illinois was never viewed as anything in the national scene. They never really got into the national spotlight because Madigan kept it very parochial and kept all of the interest parochial. And yeah, now it's a new era, and Kelly, and what I think you're seeing in the vote for her is an effort to vastly decentralize that power and authority within the Democratic Party, trying to take advantage of people becoming more active and wanting to be Democrats during the Donald Trump presidency. And we've seen a number of groups that have been spawned from that. But also an issue of spreading the work base out and having others decide where the money goes and who gets the money, and having the money go just beyond Illinois House candidates to candidates, Democratic candidates up and down the ballot.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, I'm looking here at her pledge as the new head of the party, the Democratic Party in Illinois. She says she's supporting greater transparency and great engagement, building a deep Democratic bench, which she defines it's time for us to like reflect the diversity of the state and include grassroots supporters as well, and not just party loyalist types. And I get all that. There isn't any mention of ethics in there, which is something that's been floating around Springfield. They need to do something about that. Last I checked, yeah. Rick, I think there is a federal major, like they're looking into this. The whole ComEd thing isn't over, and that's not in there. I didn't hear that mentioned. Did you hear that mentioned at any point?
No. But I think the fact that kind of Madigan is being swept away is a way for them to say that, you know, that's going to be dealt with on its own. Ethics is something political parties can talk about. It's up to the legislature to actually do something. And I think that's what everybody is waiting for, is the Democrats in the General Assembly to move forward on ethics. I mean, the one point that I think Kelly was making perhaps more than Michelle Harris was the fact that, you know, a lot of Illinois downstate has turned very red, and that used to be a hotbed for Democratic support back in the days of strong labor downstate with unions and manufacturing, coal mining, and a lot of the coal mines, of course, have gone away. And Democratic, traditionally, what were once traditionally Democratic areas have turned Republican. And the voice from Kelly was that, yes, as we look at the suburbs, which used to be, you know, the Republican firewall outside of Cook County, and seeing those Republican suburbs now becoming purple and moving more Democratic, don't forget these areas, and don't just say we're not going to run candidates because it's a Republican area, and to try to keep those areas from becoming a Forgottonia when it comes to Democratic politics in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the ethics part of this whole thing is reliant upon the state legislature. And they've been looking at this for some time. Is that under a new speaker, since Madigan has also stepped aside from that role, is that now part of what you think will be likely part of the new agenda?
I think it has to be. I really do. And for a political party to pledge ethics, you know, that's like the politician pledging ethics. But when you actually have legislation in place and laws in place to crack down on things, that's where the rubber really hits the road. And Chris Welch, the new speaker, has talked about that. Quite frankly, there's been a committee to look at ethics reforms that really hasn't produced much of anything. And people have been hanging their hat on, well, let's see what this committee does. Well, it's starting to look like it's stalling tactics, and I think those calls for ethics reform will get even stronger as we get into the 2022 election season.
Yeah, I bet you're right about that. So both Democrats and Republicans find themselves with new party chairs on the Republican side, too. They picked a business leader, right? So they're both marching forward with new leadership. What is that all going to mean?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. I mean, Don Tracy from Springfield, an attorney and businessman, very good at fundraising, is the new head of the Illinois Republican Party. He was picked last month. And it's going to be interesting to see where the state Republican Party goes. And, you know, for so long under Bruce Rauner, it was just an appendage of the governor's political machine funded through his money then. And, you know, the Republicans, when he lost, were basically left on their own, didn't have his money to help fund campaigns. And Republicans, in many respects, are still trying to find their way when it comes to trying to be a effective, responsible counter to Democrats in an increasingly blue state.
Mm-hmm. Pause for a second. Do you have a few moments with us on the other side?
Sure.
Here, Rick? Okay, because I want to ask you, there's another big headline today. I want to ask you what you make of this. The fact that wealthy residents of that Uber-exclusive Ocean Reef Club in Florida seemed to get the vaccine before anyone else. By mid-January, everybody over 65 had been vaccinated. And then Bruce Rauner's name has now come up in this, former Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner, because there was a $250,000 check that shortly after went the way of the governor, and some people are connecting it. I wonder if you are. And Rick, this was a very troubling headline, and I wonder what you make of it, because we're seeing that our former governor made a donation to DeSantis, the governor of Florida. And some folks are connecting that to the fact that this wealthy, exclusive Ocean Reef Club, which he's a member, all got vaccinated really, really, really quickly. Like by mid-January, boom, everybody got it. I don't know what you make of it. Miami Herald's got this in-depth report on it. I'm sure you've seen it. What do you think?
Yep. Well, and one, it's we don't know if the former governor, you know, got vaccinated or not. But this is actually part of a larger story that the Miami Herald has about this exclusive resort area, very wealthy area, gated community, and the fact that these types of places in Florida are somehow getting vaccines directed by Governor DeSantis or his staff. And since these kind of select areas have been picked for early vaccinations, DeSantis's political campaign fund is zoomed up by millions of dollars in donations from those areas. Rauner gave DeSantis $250,000 after the area received its vaccinations. Rauner reportedly says that, you know, it's baloney, one of his favorite words, and that he's always supported Republicans and Republicans in Florida, which is basically where he lives after losing the election to J.B. Pritzker. You know, it's another example of just how ridiculous the issue of money has gotten in politics in this country. And that, you know, DeSantis's people say, of course, there's nothing to it. There's no connection to it. But the fact that, you know, people can draw conclusions, even right or wrong on this, just once again shows the ridiculous extent to the power of money in our politics today.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it is hard to draw a direct line between Rauner and the fact that they got the vaccines or anything like that. We should point out that it's only people over 65 years of age and older who got it. In that community, it seems to be an older community where there are a lot of older people. But mid-January, that seems like a lot quicker than any other community I know of. I mean, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and obviously we're talking about Florida, which has a larger elderly population. I'm not sure that Florida, you know, because of that age, the population age, whether they were entitled to, you know, a larger number of vaccines than other states were. But yeah, it was very early. Why the communities that DeSantis picked, why they were set up that way. I mean, a lot of states have looked at the fact of, yes, age and other contributing underlying factors, but also trying to look at serving underserved communities. And that's certainly been the attempt here. And Florida is not immune from the need to try to serve underserved communities with vaccinations.
No, that's an excellent point, really excellent point. I also remember that former Governor Rauner had kind of come in under the same sort of scrutiny or criticism relation to Walter Payton College Prep. Do you remember that story a couple of years back when his daughter went there and he also gave a $250,000 check? And some people were trying to connect that, too. I don't know if that was politics or what, if she got in on her own, but it did seem as if this is the second time that's come up.
Well, there's the issue of him using his money to play clout. And now that the vaccination thing, that's an after-the-fact kind of thing. With Walter Payton Prep, his legal residence then was in Winnetka, and the question was, you know, what is he doing trying to get a daughter into a City of Chicago, a prep school? And there were issues then, not just even surrounding Rauner, but others about clout games being played to gain access at these very hard-to-get-into schools.
Yeah, I was, Senator Durbin's coming up on the show here about 3 o'clock, so we're going to be talking to him about everything. Are you following everything that's going on in the federal government? I know stimulus checks is a big issue. He's been presiding over the committee with Christopher Wray in recent days, and there seems to be a lot going on there.
Well, he's now a major center of attention and information, most recently becoming head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is a very powerful committee. And, of course, also in Washington is the fact that the Senate is still in business, but the House is taking the day off out of those concerns and warnings that today might be another troublesome day of protests from the same type of groups that spawned the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah, I know there's that concern, too. Finally, I'll just leave you with this. I was noticing as I was sort of studying up on what was happening there that Senate Majority Leader Schumer was trying to explain how he's keeping folks together on the Democratic side. And he held up his flip phone, Rick Pearson, to explain, this is how I do it. This is how I do it, because I talked to everybody. And I was just my takeaway from that was, why does it seem like every senior high ranking politician has a flip phone, Rick Pearson? Will you answer that for me, please?
The buttons are bigger.
Oh, that is not the correct answer. And you know it. Mike Madigan famously had one. He never got the smartphone. What, the technology passes them all by? Is that what we're supposed to believe?
There's a certain risk to having too much technology. And
yes,
the politicians are the first to understand that.
They understand that very well. And I understand what's going on there. And you do, too. And I think everyone else does, too. Thank you, Rick, for the time today. It's good talking with you. OK,
thanks, Anna, as always.